In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Jesus spoke to the people of Israel about the vineyard, they knew what he was talking about. Because in the Psalms, in Psalm 80 in particular, and other places in the Old Testament, God's vineyard is mentioned. But in Psalm 80, it says about God himself, "You brought a vine out of Egypt, and you came and cast those out of the land that had been unworthy, and you planted that vine in a new land." The chosen people, those who had been chosen by God, were that new vine that he had picked for his own reasons, reasons unclear to anyone else, not the people that anyone would have chosen, not the great peoples of the vast and powerful empires of the Middle East, not the Babylonians or the Assyrians or the Sumerians or the Egyptians themselves, but this small and nameless people, a people who were no people and were significant exactly for that reason, because God chooses those who have not established themselves in their own way. They were the first vine that he chose and brought out of Egypt and took to the promised land. And he cleansed that land of those who were unworthy, who were living in ways unworthy of him. And he planted that vine there. And it says in the psalm that that vine took root in the new land. So the idea of God as the one who owns the vineyard is already in the understanding of the people to whom Jesus is speaking. C.S. Lewis asks this question: does this world have an owner, or do we own this world? And of course, the scriptural answer is, we do not own the world. Now, some people interpret the book of Genesis to try to find some way of justifying ourselves, justifying the way that we already prefer to live. And they say, God gave dominion to man. The earth is ours to do with as we please. But this is not a scriptural understanding. God owns the world. He didn't just create the world and hand it over to us to do with as we please. He owns the world. He is the owner of the vineyard. He is, as Lewis calls him, the landlord. We are tenants. We are responsible to him to do as we are meant to do in that place of work. And our life is meant to be devoted to pressing out the fruit of that vineyard, this world of creation. And he asks of us, God himself asks of us, a portion of the fruit. A portion, not the whole. We are expected to live from the fruit of our labor in cooperation with God. But not to act as though this vineyard, this world, this life is ours. And then when the vineyard owner sends representatives, our response is, this is my way of life. I will live as I please. I have worked in my life, and I don't want any interference for anyone else. And so we get rid of, as is being referred to in the parable, the prophets who came during the course of the Old Testament to the people of Israel, who were raising the vine that God had planted, and they killed those prophets. And Jesus says, the vineyard owner sent his son, saying that they will respect my son. Well, St. John Chrysostom says of Christ himself that God knew, and Jesus himself knew, that he would be rejected in the world and that he would pay the price and die. He, as Jesus says at the end of the parable, is the stone that was rejected. If our purpose is to build a life of our own, then while we may find some small place to take the living stone that is Jesus the Christ and build him into the wall somewhere, we'll find a place for him in our building, but not that which holds everything together, not the stone that is the head of the corner. The stone that is the head of the corner is the stone that holds the walls together. It's where the walls meet. And up at the top, you place that final stone that binds the walls together. Some have said the wall to one side is our humanity. We participate in the building of that wall. And the other wall is God's divinity. God Himself is that wall, that unbreakable wall. And those two walls, our humanity and God's divinity, God Himself, need to be bound together at the head by the last stone, the most important stone chosen, the head of the corner. Jesus the Christ is the one who holds His divinity and our humanity together. Without Him, nothing will stand. Jesus the Christ, the stone that was rejected, the one that was cast out, the one that was considered impractical, the one that anyone with a worldly way of understanding will cast out. We may find, as I say, some other place of honor for Him, but not that which we place our confidence in when it comes to holding our lives together. We build our lives as we live. St. Paul takes up this theme when he talks about us as living stones in the temple, living stones in the building that is built in order to praise God. And he quotes Jesus himself, reminds us that Jesus the Christ is the headstone, the cornerstone. And so, here first with the example of the vineyard, and second with the example of the building, Jesus has explained to us what our life is all about. This parable has been called a microcosm, a little universe, a little cosmos of the Christian life. God creates the world. You know, and today Christians often make an issue out of God's creation of the world. That is central to an American Christian's faith. But how often do we hear people talking about the fact that God owns the world? God owns this world that He has created. We are tenants and workers in His vineyard. The meaning of our lives is played out as the labor that we do in His vineyard in order to produce the fruit of our own selves and offer all that we've done up to God. How can we do that if what we have confidence in is not God, not the one He sends to bind us to Him, but our confidence instead is in something of this world? To claim that we are owners of our own lives, proprietors in our own lives, that we have the right to guide our lives according to our own worldly understanding. And we see here in this parable what the consequences of that kind of self-guidance will be. When we come to choose the best, to finish our lives, that thing that holds everything together, if our way of understanding is a worldly perspective, we will reject Jesus the Christ. He will not fit into the lifestyle that we are trying to create. Maybe in some little place out of the way, but He will not be chosen as that which holds all things together for us. And the consequence will be our lives will be crooked. The walls of our lives, they won't be straight. When we build, it falls apart. Nothing holds together. It doesn't matter what we choose other than Him. The result will be the same. It will come tumbling down. And so, especially if we've seen this in our own lives, our efforts time and again coming to nothing, we should take this parable to heart and answer the question that Jesus ends with when He turns to those He's speaking to and asks, "Have you not heard?" And they have heard, because it's Psalm 118. We hear these words all the time today. The stone that was rejected has become the head of the corner, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.